GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Hello and welcome to the Hurling Show. It's going to be a weekly fare offered every Friday at 12:30 p.m. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and you can also get us on Twitter, and offtheball.com is where you'll find the podcast later on. I'm joined this week by Michael Verney. Michael, we were here a few weeks ago and we had Tommy on the line as well. We obviously stanked the joint out, but not quite enough to be canned. So, delighted to have you back.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm back, Shane, again. It's great to be here again. Any week you're talking about hurling is always a good week.
It is, yeah. And you'd do it all day, every day, wouldn't you? You're a good hurling man.
Yeah, you'd have to talk about hurling all day, every day. Yeah, sure, it's great. Yeah, it's kind of different this year as well. There's so much to look forward to now. There's so many games. We're not waiting 2 or 3 weeks for games. It's brilliant, yeah. And it starts perfectly this weekend, especially from my own point of view with the All-Ireland champions coming to our backyard. So, yeah, there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, a couple of great games this weekend. Of course, you have Offaly against Galway on Saturday night in Tullamore, and then on Sunday, Dublin against Kilkenny. It's great that we've got a kind of raft of big games like this. We're going to have Neil McManus, the Antrim captain, on the show as well. He's actually played against 3 of the 4 teams that are out this weekend. He's also lining out in the Joe McDonagh Cup. They had a win over Meath last weekend, so it's going to be great to get his thoughts. But when I think about hurling and I think about championship, what comes to mind to me always is the things that people say down home when they're relating to the game. They say it without actually saying. So if the match is on this weekend, let's say, will you travel on Sunday? Are you used to that sort of stuff, or do you think they'll do it?
Yeah,
you
know, it's gas, isn't it? Yeah, and like the amount of power which the team being named has locally. Oh, geez, I wonder will he play there or will he play here? And I wonder will your man make his debut? It's just great. It's the talk. Like during the club month, everything was focused on the kind of clubs back home. We actually had plenty of games, which was great. But now it's just championship. How will Offaly go? Will Galway be at full tilt for us? There's so much talk about it, yeah. And it's the talk everywhere for the last couple of weeks.
Mm. And no better man to help us sort of tee up the championship than that man, Tommy Walsh, who was talking to Tommy Martin last night on the show.
You look across all sports. We all have the internet. We all have the different television channels. We're seeing the professional sports people. The top people, they want to win all the time because that's what leads to good habits. And Kilkenny, they've went out there. They've young players who have no All-Ireland medals. They've no Leinster medals. They went out now and sampled big crowds. Big crowds in Wexford Park, in Nolan Park. Big crowds everywhere. And they've got a taste of both victory and defeat. So I think, just for the guys' confidence, I heard Kevin McStay, the Roscommon manager there before Christmas, and he was talking about confidence, how real confidence you get from the training ground, real confidence you get from working hard. Well, Kilkenny have got real confidence from this league. It's not just someone, maybe a psychologist tapping into him, telling him to believe. These were adventures, came through fierce battles and won. So I just think it was a great preparation for the championship. But I don't know, can you see the poster behind me, Tommy? I don't know, is the shot there, but yeah. It's a calendar of the Game of Thrones. And I don't watch it myself, but they all watch it here at home. And all the talk is, what's going to happen? Who's going to die this week? Next minute, they're down in the house here and they're all chatting. I can't believe whoever, John Stark has died. I can't believe this person has died. Well, I think, Tommy, it's going to be the very same in this championship. Leinster and Munster. We won't believe some of the results. But I think it's set up for, it's one of the most wonderful times, I think, to be a Kilkenny or an inter-county supporter. And it's a wonderful time to be part of the management or playing teams, because there's going to be so many big matches. And then you have the whole home and away side of things, which is going to be, you know, will it be like the soccer, the Champions League?
Yeah, it's more of a Game of Thrones this weekend than a Game of Thrones. Do you watch it?
I don't watch it, no. And I hope Tommy didn't give away any plot lines there. But no, I'm more of a traditional go on, laugh daily, only fools and horses, faulty towers kind of man. I haven't got into Game of Thrones or anything like that yet. Just about Peaky Blinders, just about.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of Game of Thrones and I gave up halfway through. I just thought it was annoying. Now, it's not that I wouldn't be open to any sort of a show. Peep Show will be my number one now. I think it's absolutely unbelievable.
I wonder, is it as confusing to watch Game of Thrones first time as to watch hurling for the first time when you don't know what's going on? Maybe we should, but I'm delighted Tommy doesn't watch it, because that means you don't watch it, I don't watch it, he doesn't watch it. That's
good hurling men don't watch it.
Three hurling men that don't watch Game of Thrones.
But the thing that I'd wonder is, how do you feel about the round-robin system? Because as much as it's going to give us a load of brilliant games, we're probably going to end up with a dead rubber or two towards the end, which I suppose might be okay because there might be enough to keep us going. But I'd worry about the likes of Wexford because I think the game is a little bit rigged against them. They don't play the first weekend. So probably to counter that, they played Clare the other night, who also don't play in the first week in Munster. So the last two games for Wexford are going to be Galway and then Kilkenny, 2 weeks in a row. And if they need results, it's going to be incredibly hard for them at that stage, especially when you consider injuries could come into it.
I think it's a tough setup, Shane, to be honest with you. I think it's especially tough for anyone 29, 30, 31. Offaly are playing 4 weeks in a row, so you have four games in 21 days. Pick up a dead leg, probably miss the second game, maybe miss the third game. Pick up a strained calf, could miss two or three games. I think it's a tough setup like that. I think Kevin Martin kind of said, I think it was last week at the Leinster launch, how he'd just love if it was game on, week, game on, maybe week off or 2 weeks off, and then go again. It's just, like, for instance, God, I hope it doesn't happen, but if Shane Dooley were to pick up a knock this weekend, say a hamstring strain, we're in trouble then, 3 weeks straight, you know? I think it's difficult. I think it suits younger players as well, who are going to be probably fully recovered by Tuesday or Wednesday. Like, you know from playing games, I'd be sore for 4 or 5 days after I'm only 31, like, so I don't know how older guys, like, how will the Brick fare in Munster? How will, say, Kevin Moran fare? I don't think it suits older players at all. And it's funny, chatting to some of the younger players, I was at the under 21 launch a couple of weeks ago, they're all absolutely mad for it. But they're going to be recovered in 2 days. I'm just thinking that the older fellas are going to find it so much harder. And you're right about Wexford as well. It is tough, and you're watching on that first week, and then it's just bang, 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 bang. And if you start, the momentum side of things would be interesting. If you start with a defeat, how will you be able to regroup? The only thing is, they do have games so quickly that they're going to get an opportunity to regroup very quickly. But I just think it's difficult. I think it's particularly difficult for the older players.
I think there's a couple of things you touched on there. Number one, we're going to have a clip from Kevin Martin coming up shortly. Also, how are the older players going to deal with game on, game on, game? We've seen Mayo do it, despite having a lot of guys who are aged 30 plus. And just one final point that comes from what you're saying there. With the game on, game on, game, I think we're going to see a real tactical evolution in hurling quite quickly, because with teams playing once or twice a year, some 3 or 4 games in some cases, if you've done pretty well, it takes a long time for tactics to evolve. But I think that's going to speed up. We're obviously going to have a look at the tactics of the teams this weekend a little bit later on. But I just find that definitely we're going to see tactical overhaul very soon.
I'd agree, because if Offaly knew they were playing Galway in the first game, probably, I don't know, 8 months ago, so they'll have everything prepared for Galway. But a week later, they're going to have to prepare for somebody else.
So you can't just say...
No, you can't. And it can change that quickly. So I think you might see... I think it could be really, really interesting. I think you're going to see pretty open games, because it's going to be very hard to get a proper defensive structure in place. You're playing Wexford 1 week, who play with a sweeper. You're playing Galway next week, who will not play with a sweeper. You know, it's difficult. And I think, if anything, that will make it better.
Mm. So we're probably going to start off with the Offaly against Galway game. Do you feel that we're a long way removed from when Gerlach Nan was referring to Offaly hurlers with fat bellies, legs and arses?
God, that's an awful comment to start with.
I'm going to load it up nicely for you there.
We were...
As a former Offaly hurler who was possibly at the wrong end of that comment, were you on the panel at the time?
God, I wasn't part of the bellies and arses part anyway, but I was on the panel all right, yeah. That's definitely gone now anyway. You'd see the lads are in really good shape and have really bought into what Kevin has kind of been selling them. I think it's gas, and you've seen with different managers coming in how things can change so quickly. Like, Offaly looking good shape this year, to have everybody in that they should have in. I don't think anybody in Offaly is expecting All-Irelands or anything like that. I think what we're looking for them to be as competitive as they possibly can be and to be winning the games that they should be winning. And in general, they have been. And people will be going to Tullamore Saturday evening expecting a performance of some kind and to not to kind of shell a big defeat. And I'd be hopeful enough that they will give a good account of themselves. And particularly because we have a big, strong forward line, all over 6 foot, probably 6 foot three is probably the average height in the forward line, and probably that's one of the ways to probably cause Galway's kind of big aggressive back some problems. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the first game Saturday. Yeah.
Just one more question before we go to the clip with Kevin Martin. Did that clip or that comment from Gerlach Nan sting you at the time and anger you?
110%. Yeah. Like, because it's an amateur game, I think you look for any type of motivation you can get. Literally, we look for anything. And like, how many times have you seen in the papers or some that come out after a match, a manager says we were written off? It's the, like, that's the GA is funny. Like, I remember a manager one time down in Kilkenny who will remain nameless was in the dressing room an hour and a half before the match putting up a poster to say that, you know, they were playing Dublin in under 21 and Dublin or, you know, the coming team in Leinster or whatever. And some of the players were sitting around him or whatever. And 5 minutes before the match, nobody knew why this was there. 5 minutes before the match, he says, "And look at this. Who put this here?" You know, I'm motivated. You know, that's the way kind of GA people work. Mm. And yeah, that definitely would have stung, yeah. Even though at the time he said it, it was May or June. If there were bellies and arses, it was going to be hard to get rid of them at that stage.
Okay, we'll have a quick listen to Kevin Martin there.
You know, they're starting to believe that they can actually push these teams to the wire now. So, as I said before, confidence is a major thing in this team. And if they can just believe in themselves, you know, they won't be too far off it.
When we met in the snow in Tullamore back in December, you were saying it was all about trying to get belief into this group of players. Do you think that's lifted as the way the league campaign went?
Ah, it has, yeah. You know, like Tom Spaines after appearing out of the blue, you know, people didn't think he was as good as what he is, and he's hurling very well. Ben Keneally's after growing. You know, players like that, and you know, when other players around see that type of thing happening with these guys, they're starting to believe, well, if he can do it, I can do it type thing, you know. And in fairness, you know, the talk is good in the camp and the vibes are good and they're buying into it. And yeah, as I said, belief is the, you know, you have to believe in your own ability before you can do anything, you know.
In terms of this Leinster round robin series, if I offered you fourth place right now, would you take it?
No, one first. One first place. You know, you have to have a first place goal. You're never going to get there if you don't reach for it. So we're going out to win every game, and we'll see where that takes us.
Ultimately, though, it is important for Offaly not to drop into the McDonagh Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. No one wants to go down, you know. So, and someone is going to go down. That's the reality of it. But, you know, we're going to do our level best to stay up where we are and push for Leinster. And, you know, if we haven't got that goal, there's no point in even starting.
So that's Offaly manager Kevin Martin, and preparing for the biggest challenge of all, which is, of course, Galway this weekend. Would you be happy with fourth place in Leinster and consolidate position in the Liam McCarthy?
I'd be delighted with fourth place, yeah. And I think Kevin quietly probably would be too, but that's a good shift in mentality from we'd be happy with a 10 or 12 point defeat from maybe a year ago or 2 years ago to actually setting those goals for the players now. Like I was on a Burr team that was beaten by Kevin when he was player manager in Tullamore. He's about 40, like, and he's a driven man. And when he speaks, you would tend to believe what he's selling. And all the guys seem to have really bought into it. And it's such a kind of quick turnaround. The positivity within Offaly is really, really high now. But me, I'd be delighted with staying in Leinster. And I'd love for the GA to have the headache of if it was Dublin. Would Dublin be sent down to the second tier? I find it hard to believe that they would be.
Right, and just to look, review some of the results that Offaly have had this year. Beat a very weakened Dublin team earlier on in the year at Croke Park, which was, you know, a huge boost. And there was all that talk of these are men from some of your ex-players online.
And tears.
Yeah, tears. Absolutely tears as well, mixed with a few pints. And then later on, there was obviously staying up, but... And the Kilkenny game as well, just lost by a couple of points in the league quarter final. But then you have recent hammerings and challenge matches by Cork and Tipperary. Where are this Offaly team really at?
Yeah, they've definitely mixed the good with the bad during the league. Like, I don't know what percentage Kilkenny were at against Offaly, because Offaly were in that game in the 71st minute until TJ and Walter Walsh got a point. They're still struggling for that consistency. The three challenge games would have been disappointing. I know they were decent against Waterford and were in it right until the end, but they were missing a couple of guys who were just coming back just in time for the weekend, and we just can't afford to be missing guys. Mm-hmm. Joe Borgen was out after pulling a hamstring for Clare in the club game. Who else was out? Colin Egan was just back as well. Dan Kerms was out. Pat Cameron was out. We just can't afford to be missing those guys, and when we are missing them, we're a lot weaker. I don't think you'll see the best of us until the second or third round, given some of the boys that are coming back now. And that consistency is still kind of the struggle, isn't it, really? It's funny, Offaly are, in my opinion, a little ahead of Joe McDonagh and a little behind the kind of Liam McCarthy counties, maybe apart from Dublin, because we haven't seen that really high-level performance from Dublin yet, but I'm sure they'll be saving it for this weekend and when we play them at Parnell Park.
On the line, we have a man who is currently playing in the Joe McDonagh Cup and had an opening round win over Meath. Neil McManus, how are you doing?
Very well. How are you, Shane?
Not too bad. We'll get on to talking about Offaly and Galway, who you've played against both teams this year. But tell me, how's life in the Joe McDonagh Cup? How exciting was it to get that win the first day?
It's great competition, I think, because you know, just as mentioned, there are a few teams, and probably Offaly are only a slight smidgen ahead of 3-4 of the teams in the Joe McDonagh Cup, and we feel that with a run of games, the two teams who obviously finish top get a crack at third place in Munster and third place in Leinster. So we think that, you know, as a build-up to those games, whoever comes out of it will be well-placed for a, you know, a real tilt at one of those two teams. I think it's a good competition. It's very, very competitive.
And Neil, as well, just ye actually beat Offaly this year in the league. Do you feel that Antrim should actually be in Liam McCarthy here? I mean, that showed that you obviously aren't too far away from him.
No, I think you have to earn your right to be in the Liam McCarthy, and Antrim's performances in the championship over the last couple of years mean that we haven't earned that. You know, and we have to go ahead and do something to qualify us to have that right, and we haven't done it yet. We fully intend on doing it throughout the course of the Joe McDonagh, and I'd be confident that we can do that, that we have a panel probably that we haven't had for a couple of years, and options that weren't available to us previously. But I think, you know, you've seen some of our league performances, Offaly, Dublin, Galway even. Whenever we're going well, we can mix it with the teams who are probably quite rightly rated a fair bit above Antrim. But no, we have to go and do it in Championship Hurling, because that's the only thing that matters here, is Championship Hurling. And if we are to get into the top two of the Joe McDonagh, then I think we'll have proved we're progressing in the right way. And we really look forward to a tilt that, you know, whoever's going to be third place in either of the two championships, and that's anybody's guess.
Hmm. And Terence McNaughton is over the team, back for his third stint. He has Dominic McKinley there as well. Liam Sheedy is in as an advisor. And you'd see with a couple of counties like Meath as well, they have Mick Kavanagh involved and they have Martin Comerford involved. How important is it to have somebody in from a county that is seen as traditional, even though in some ways that mightn't rub you up the right way? But having someone like Liam Sheedy involved, what does that do for you?
Well, I think it gives confidence to players and management team. You know, whenever Liam Sheedy says, you're doing what Tipperary are doing at this time of the year, what Kilkenny are doing at this time of the year, then, you know, that gives you confidence, because there's a whole lot of unknowns out there, and everybody's always second-guessing each other to see, you know, I wonder what they're doing. And even whenever players meet up at social events, they're always trying to screw a wee bit of information out of the other, you know, and you're hearing stories of challenge matches and how they went and different things, and you're trying to nearly gauge what championship performance is going to be like on the back of that, and that's very hard. But I think it just gives a level of confidence that what you're doing is right, and how well you're going is true.
Can I just ask you, Neil? I've just kind of, as been in the media, obviously, I was kind of surprised with how little coverage there was of the Joe McDonagh Cup. Is that something that kind of you guys would take notice of? I know there was only maybe like 200 words maybe in some of the papers. Is that something that you kind of take notice of? And just on that as well, I suppose that would be maybe one of the reasons why a lot of counties aren't for second and third tiers in football championships, just because the games are maybe slipping under the radar a bit. Do you feel that maybe as a player, or do you think they're given the recognition they deserve?
No, I'll be honest. I thought obviously the Joe McDonagh kicked off last weekend, and I thought the first weekend's coverage was absolutely abysmal, to be perfectly honest. There was so little, and the Sunday papers and the Monday papers even to follow, you know, I thought it was very, very poor, to be honest, and so many other things took preference. Whenever, you know, I suppose the Joe McDonagh here is a real opportunity for two teams to come out with a massive, massive amount of opportunity. The team that they're going to play probably won't be feeling that they've done massively well because they're finishing third, you know, and you know they'll not be massively buoyant because they haven't won a provincial championship, they haven't qualified for the final, which is the goal of each of those five teams, is to get to the final of those provincial deciders. So there's a huge opportunity for the two teams that come out of the Joe McDonagh, and I thought that definitely media-wise they would have been paying a little bit more attention to the games as they unfolded.
Neil, before the league quarterfinal between Galway and Limerick this year, you said to me that you fancied Limerick to win the game. You played against both of them and you noticed that there was a bit more, possibly intensity is a general word to use, in the Limerick team at the moment. Now, you probably played against Galway again last year. Can you kind of contrast Galway last year versus this year, you know, at the points where you played them?
Yeah, well, I think that was, I was speaking to you just before they played in the final round of Division 1B, and that was going to see who got promoted. And I tipped Limerick to beat Galway simply on what I had seen. You know, Galway have obviously, they're reigning All-Ireland champions, and I think they were happy enough to be in 1B because it gave them the opportunity to kind of coast through a whole lot of the league. And whenever they got, I think they probably thought that was the one game they would just have to win, and that would ensure promotion back to 1A. But Limerick were going really, really, really well. I think we've seen that throughout the league, and even in the quarterfinal and semi-final. Limerick are going well. Limerick have, in my opinion, the best panel probably in Ireland. They may not have the best starting 15, but you know, if any county was asked to put out two 15s, Limerick's would be the strongest overall. And I do think that they can make some headway. And I wouldn't be surprised to find Limerick in the top three of the Munster Championship.
I actually wouldn't disagree with that at all, Michael. I'm going to ask the same question to Neil as well. But how do you think that this Offaly team is going to have the legs for Galway over 70 minutes? Because they're a seriously prime athletes in Galway.
Yeah, over 70 minutes, Shane, probably not realistic, especially for carrying two or three that have missed a month's training. So probably not.
And Joe Bergen is an injury doubt as well.
Yeah, Joe will probably start, but you can't have doubts going into big games. You know, it's very, as you know yourself, once you go into that, if you're not 100%, you know, it's very hard to stay up to the pace. Offaly are miles fitter than they were last year, but to get to the Lucas Kersenstein level of fitness might be probably a bridge too far, I'd say. Galway have, it's hard to know what to expect exactly, because you can say they've timed it to perfection and you can say they've had loads of time, but you don't know whether that same hunger is there, whether the same hunger for work is there. But I would be expecting a reasonably good performance from them. And we'll probably find it a little difficult to hang on to their coattails, I'd say.
Neil, same question to you. Do you think Galway can hang with, Offaly can hang with Dublin, or, excuse me, do you think that Offaly can hang with Galway over the 70 minutes?
I'd be fearful for Offaly this weekend. I think Galway will be sending out a signal. I think they've been questioned quite a lot, you know, through the league. Have they enjoyed the All-Ireland win too much? Have they, you know, gone a wee bit soft? And if I've heard that once, I've heard it 30 or 40 times in the media over the past, say, month or so. And I think Offaly are in for a tough afternoon. And I'm not even sure why it's in Tullamore, if that's correct, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's strange, bringing Galway to a bigger pitch whenever they seem to find their home again. And Burr and being successful there during the league, and I don't know, like, I would be bringing them to Burr, I think, to the smaller pitch, and you know, making a bit of a carnival atmosphere around it, and Burr, you know, a hurling stronghold and that, and I don't hold out a whole lot of hope for Offaly this weekend.
I'm glad Neil went on the record to promote Burr as the home of hurling in Offaly.
A Burr man.
Well, there's been a lot of people saying it over the last 10 or 15 years, you know, that's traditionally where all the games would have been played. Now, bringing the All-Ireland champions, capacity-wise, might be a little difficult now for Saturday evening, but for other games, it would definitely be. Offaly traditionally would have, you know, that's where they would have played all their games, and usually, kind of historically, there would have been a hub around Burr, maybe, where most of the county panel has been picked from. So it's great to have somebody else from outside of Offaly going on the record to say how good of a venue St Brendan's Park is.
Mm. And Neil, you've played in many different positions for Antrim, centre-forward being one of them. And just, we're going to hear from Joe Canning a little bit later on. That's where he's found his home in the last year or so. He played there in 2014 for Galway as well. Where would you see as his best position? Do you like him there at centre forward?
Definitely. He's a leader of the attack. You know, even though he went over and started wing forward in the All-Ireland final on Philip O'Mahony, I think that was probably more Galway just trying to switch things up a little bit, because Waterford are known for being extremely systematic. And I think Joe just wanted to be left with a little bit of freedom on that particular day. But like, I'd like to probably see Joe given a role whereby he's let go off and hurled, because there's nobody else can do it like he can. So I would let him, give him whatever jersey you want, you know, but tell him to go out and, you know, make a nuisance of himself, make the runs deep, because at the end of the day, if he makes a run to the backside of the square, you know, from even wing forward and the ball switched to the far post, like, Joe is going to catch it and bury it. You know, I'd love to see him popping up at the edge of the square now again too, but the freedom that playing in the half forward line presents for Joe, I think is a joy to watch.
Where would you like to see him, Michael? Because he's played a full forward for a long time as well, and because he's further out the field, he hasn't scored a championship goal since the quarterfinal against Clare in 2016.
From an opposition's perspective, there's kind of two ways of looking at it. I think Joe playing centre forward is a disaster for an opposition defence, because he just has that bit more room. Obviously, the midfield is the only line of the field where there's only two guys in it, so they're kind of spreading out, and he's coming into that middle, and there's a 40 or 50 yard gap that he can come into, and he just pulls strings so well. And like, while he's a great scorer and he's brilliant on the edge of the square as well, the ball he gives into the full forward line is like outrageous. It's never above head high. It's perfect for Conor Cooney, Conor Whelan to run into as well. And I think it was interesting to hear him say, and it's true, he did have better years than last year before, and he didn't get Hurler of the Year, but I just think he fitted into the team much better last year. He was a defender at times, he was an attacker at times, he didn't miss a free in the All-Ireland final. I just think out around centre forward, he just had that freedom. I've played there as well. It's I think his best position on the field. Like, you can kind of, as Neil says, you can kind of go wherever you want to go. And I just think while he's unbelievably dangerous a full forward, he can always switch in and out. And they didn't use him a full forward hardly at all last year, which is interesting. I think he'll probably move in a bit more this year, but centre forward, just have that freedom for a hurler like him to have the freedom that he has out there, is just, that's a disaster for an opposition.
Yeah, and we're going to move on to Dublin Kilkenny just shortly now. But Neil, how much do you think Galway are going to win by? Because you seem pretty adamant that they're going to do so.
I'd be surprised if it's less than 10 points.
Really? Okay. Fairly damning about it straight away there,
I'd
Michael.
I'd be happy if it's less than 10.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Like, we played two sweepers, and you were there last year, Shane. We played two sweepers, and they hit 33 points. Mm. You know? I think the big thing is that we don't get hit for three or four goals early, or three or four goals in general. You know, something like, if Galway were to put up a tally like 221, 222, and we were to hit, you know, 115, 114, I'd be relatively happy. Just that Offaly aren't overrun, you know, just hopefully that they're not overrun, and they could be.
Okay.
It's a massive start for the competition for Offaly, and I hope, you know, Offaly don't worry about this, you know, as in they've set their stall out for Galway and Galway alone. You know, the Galway match will come and go. There's bigger matches coming down the line for Offaly.
Yeah, well, look, we're going to move on to the Dublin versus Kilkenny match now, and here's Conor McKeown talking on Thursday's Off the Ball AM about the impact of playing at Parnell Park. Okay, we'll have that clip in just a minute, but I'll actually tell you my memory. The most abiding memory I have of playing at Parnell Park in Club Hurling in Dublin is last year, we took around the All-Ireland title to this young lad's house in...
Any chance
Dock.
To mention an All-Ireland title? Go on.
No, there's a reason behind it. So we took it out, there's this little kid, Luke Hurley, and he was after getting a kidney transplant from his dad, Shane. So we went out, myself and John Shane, and one of the wing backs, we went out to the house, gave him the cup, and, you know, had a bit of crack at him for a while, playing hurling out the back and all that kind of stuff. He's a brave young lad, and, you know, he's been through a huge amount, and he seems to be doing well now. But we were playing the county semi-final against St. Vincent's last year, and I was told to warm up just at the early enough in the second half. So I went running up, and before the match, actually, Luke had come up to the substitutes bench, and he was giving me the thumbs up, and I was there, "How are you, Luke?" and all this kind of stuff. So then I'm running up and down the sideline. Like, he's about 9 years of age, running up and down the sideline, ready to go on, and he's there roaring at me, you know, because it's this tight. Like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the impact of Parnell Park. And he's roaring at me, "Shane, Shane, Shane." So I'm there trying to think, am I going to let Matty Kenny see me interacting with the crowd? Am I going to ignore a young lad? So I had to ignore the poor young lad, and I came on. And
it's literally right on top of you. It's like, I always said it was like Galatasaray when we were playing up there, and it's an absolute graveyard of a venue to go for a visiting team. It's so tight. It always, I don't know, this is just me, it always seemed heavy. The ground always seemed heavy to me, and it always seemed like the Dublin boys were absolutely hopping off the ground. Mm. So I don't know. I think we had one good result. I think we beat Ballyboden there with Borough 1 year. Apart from that, I'd say we're probably 7 losses, 1 win, I'd say something. It's just that we always just found it was a disaster to play in.
Well, here's Conor McKeown talking about it.
The game on Sunday is in Parnell Park, and it's interesting because, like, when Pat Gilroy got the gig, with Dublin, he kind of stated that he would prefer all of Dublin's games to be played in Croke Park because that's where Leinster's are won, that's where All-Ireland's are won. And in the big picture, you can probably see that logic. But in the very, you know, if you narrow the focus a small bit in the context of this season, and in particular this game on Sunday, like, you know, Parnell Park is probably worth 3 or 4 points to Dublin, maybe even more, because their record in the two venues are completely diametrically opposed over the past few years. Like, they do like playing in Parnell Park. Opposition teams don't like playing in Parnell Park. You know, the shape of the pitch isn't any different, but there's something different feeling about the ground. And, you know, if they can start well there, and if they can make the game really, really competitive and stay in it until half-time, and get some of their matchups right, and do things like, you know, maybe take 20% of the scores off TJ Reid, however you do that, you know, they're probably in with a better chance than a lot of people give them.
Neil, do you give Dublin much chance at home to Kilkenny?
I do, actually. I think it'll be tighter. I do expect Kilkenny to win, coming off the back of the, you know, the league win for Kilkenny. They're going to be strong, they're going to be confident, but I don't think it'll be straightforward. And Dublin have a good enough record of late. You know, we don't have to go that far back to find good results for Dublin against Kilkenny. And, you know, Dublin will be unhappy about how they performed in the league. And they'll be, you know, I think they'll be massively pumped for this. I see an aggressive game, probably defensive. Parnell Park's not massively, you know, it's not. There's no wide open spaces. But I think Dublin will get tore into Kilkenny. I think they'll be bouncing off the walls before they come out. And I think Kilkenny will earn everything they get in Parnell.
Michael, the average scoreline between a Brian Cody Kilkenny and Dublin since he took over in late 1998 is 220 to 13 points.
That's right, yeah. I would have often had a few little bets handicap-wise, yeah, for Dublin to cover the handicap against Dublin, but I think it will be, I think it'll be pretty tight on Sunday. I know they only got 4 cooler lads back. They're probably all going to start, and most importantly is Keane O'Callaghan coming in at fullback, who's top-notch, I think. As that's probably going to release probably Owen O'Donnell, I think, to pick up TJ.
I think so as well, yeah.
And Sean Moran will probably play centre-back, but probably sit back. And he's a massive addition coming back as well. You obviously have David Tracy coming in hitting frees as well. I think it's going to be tight. By all accounts, I think they played Limerick last weekend. I think Limerick were down 5 or 6. But I know from chatting some of the Limerick lads, they were seriously impressed with how Dublin were going. You have to take into account as well, they were probably doing double sessions. They were probably training like 8, 9 times a week throughout the league and training at 6 in the morning. We were chatting to Fergal Whiteley there last week at the under-21 launch. He was saying about, like, to be up every morning at 5 o'clock nearly, you know, to be ready for training at 6. And I don't think Pat Gilroy plays too much, you know, stock in the league, and I think they'll be ready to go on Sunday. I don't think Dublin are nearly as bad as the league suggested, and I don't think Kilkenny are nearly as good as the league suggested.
Neil, TJ Reid, would you agree that he's the best player in the country?
Just right now, yeah, he has to be. He was unstoppable throughout the league. You know, even in the first couple of games Kilkenny lost, his performance was just way, way above anything else on the pitch. So I think it's massive for Dublin to try and put a collar on him. But it's so hard because he it's not like he cut down the space in front of him. Just drop it on top of him and he'll win it, you know.
And like when you look back at the league final against Tipperary, he won man of the match, and I don't think anyone would debate the fact that he should have been man of the match. But when I went back and did the statistics on it, he actually only had the ball in his hand 10 times in the whole game. Now obviously he hit the frees as well, and that makes you stand out. But even with 10 possessions, he was definitely man of the match because he had 3 points from play, he created 3 scoring chances, he won 2 frees that were scored, he won, he completed a pass, lost just 1 ball, and also, he won a free without actually even having possession of the ball as well. So, like, how would you try and stop him? Is it a collective effort? Can Dublin afford to just say, well, other people will fill spaces? Because it's probably not that easy, because Kilkenny will plan on emptying out the area for him.
With regards to TJ, I suppose it's not how many times he touched the ball. I think Larry Corbett touched it 7 times in the 2010 final and got 3-1. It's the economy of what you do with the ball, I suppose. And, like, you rarely see him make a bad move with the ball. It's either a point, it's either a pass. It's recycling the ball. He's so clever on the ball. I think if they do put Owen O'Donnell on him, He's a stopper, but he's a brilliant hurler as well.
He's a relentless pest on the field as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
I've spoken to some of the Dublin hurlers before, and he is a nightmare to mark. Neil, you came up against Dublin. Do you think Owen O'Donnell might be the best, the guy best suited to this? Maybe Chris Crummie is an option. I think Sean Moran will probably sweep, whether it's from wing back or centre back. So perhaps having him up against TJ Reid mightn't be the most suitable for this game.
No, it's definitely. Look, Chris is a good centre half, but it's Owen. Owen has to be on him. He just ruined your day. You know, that's how he hurts, and he take great satisfaction in that. And there's like I thought Aaron Graffin from my own club hurts with Antrim. You know, he just loves to go out and give somebody no puck for the whole day, and doesn't mind whether or not he's had the ball in his hand once.
There's a sadistic enjoyment when you play cornerback or anywhere in the backs, as you know. Like, I've played cornerback most of the time. I would get as much joy out of marking a fella and him not touching the ball as poking 2 points from wing back and clearing a load of ball. It's just weird. It's the way you're programmed or something.
I presume you're an absolute sledger, are you?
No, not at all, no.
Yeah, but you told us that the last time you were on here, you said you're certainly not a slick cornerback.
Is there such a thing?
Well, Cahill Barrett.
He's a midfielder now, isn't he?
I suppose he's. Paul Murphy hurls a bit of ball.
Yeah, Paul Murphy hurls a bit of ball. He's an absolute beast as well, though. I think just getting back to the kind of game on Sunday, I just think the amount of space TJ will have will be minimised as well from a couple of factors. Probably Dublin drawing a man back, the size of the pitch itself as well. And I just noticed, particularly last year and even the year before, TJ has been double teamed a lot more, I think, than he has been this year. It's been one-on-one most of the time this year. And I think if Dublin really want to, like if Dublin kind of cut him down and cut him to maybe, we'll just say 8 points, six from frees, there's a big shortfall there to fill. And I'm not sure if, we'd say, Alan Murphy or Bill Sheehan are going to fill that gap. Mm-hmm. So what they do with him is central, and I'm sure Pat Gilroy will have a plan around that. It's huge to how they get on Sunday. Mm.
So speaking of excellent centre forwards, we've got a clip with Joe Cannon coming up shortly, but just before we go to that, Neil, just a final word with you. Do you think Dublin have a chance here, and even a chance of making the All-Ireland series, where you might end up meeting them if you do well in the Joe McDonagh?
They do have a chance. I think they've got a chance on Sunday. First and foremost, I do think they can get a result. It's a small chance, but it's definitely going to be a tighter game than a lot of people think. Everybody, you know, seems to be talking about an 8-9 point win for Kilkenny. I really don't see that. I see 3-4 points kind of being the margin. And I think it's going to be a straight fight between Dublin and Wexford for the third spot. I do think Kilkenny and Galway will be in that provincial final.
So just go into that Joe Cannon clip now, where he's talking about the effects of social media. He was on hand to launch Bord Gáis Energy's Summer of Hurling at the Cup on Tay, along with Conor MacDonald and Alan Cadigan. Throughout the Senior Hurling Championship, Bord Gáis will be offering fans unmissable GAA rewards through Bord Gáis Energy Rewards Club.
Yeah, so it's like, as I've said before, 6 inches from a clap in the back and a kick up the air, so... Irish society loves to put people down, unfortunately, and they love to always see the negative in things. But yeah, like looking back, if I was 15 again, not much really. I was lucky I had a kind of a strong enough family around me, and probably Ollie and the rest of the guys that went through a lot of that before. But in today's day and age of social media, it's a lot easier for. I suppose people to give their opinion and for you to see it, and it's very easy saying, why don't you stay off social media? It's the age we live in, you know.
Why should you have to?
No, so it's just a little bit more difficult for players, especially at the end of the day we're amateurs, you know. People, I think, forget that. Like, we don't owe anybody anything. We play it actually. Make people enjoy the games and get a bit of joy and have the crack and go to matches. The least we deserve is a small bit of respect, and I think sometimes that respect isn't reciprocated on social media to players and management and teams. So you have your so-called experts that stand behind the keyboard and give you abuse after a bad game. I suppose you need to be kind of hard enough not to let things get to you, but everybody's human at the end of the day and some things do. So it's probably to take things with a pinch of salt. Is the one of a bit of advice I give to Jack or to any young player growing up now, is that I wouldn't believe everything you kind of read in social media.
So Neil, that clip was teed up with what advice would he give a 15-year-old self of what to come from being an intercounty hurler? Tell me, if you were to go back, and what advice would you give yourself? Because, you know, there is all the social media now and people are free to have a cut at you at any time.
Yeah, I think that's a massive point of it. It's the biggest way in which life has probably changed in the last decade, is the influence that social media has. From being probably 10 years of age now, you know, people are influenced by social media right up to the current players. And, you know, I think Joe's spot on there, in fairness. Like, everybody's given it 100%. You know, they're still getting up on Monday morning to go to a building site or a factory or an office. And I think if you were to actually take on board everything that you hear or see about yourself in the paper, you know, you drive yourself mad. So, like, more just enjoy it as much as you can, and you know, don't listen to a lot of the stuff that you hear. You know, just be as positive as you can and really enjoy, get as much enjoyment out of it, because, like, at the end of the day, that's why we do it. If you didn't enjoy it, just close the door behind you, you know. And I think a lot of our young lads, even playing real underage stuff, need to be left alone even more on the sideline, you know, by parents, coaches, whatever. Let them out, let them enjoy it. But, you know, these kids are all smart, they're learning as they go, and they'll figure it out themselves.
Okay, well, Neil, thank you very much for your time there. You've got a big match against Carlow this weekend. I presume confidence is high.
It is. Now we're looking forward to it. We're at home, but, you know, Carlow beat us last year, we beat them, so it's 50-50 as regards the outcome chances, but we're looking forward to it.
Thanks very much, Neil. So now we're going to go to the tactics board here. I'm going to get a couple of my programmes out of the way. We're going to look, first of all, at Dublin against Kilkenny. How do you see, like, this is how I would see Dublin setting up. Now, I think that you'll have the likes of, perhaps, you're going to have Paddy Smith, probably Keen O'Callaghan, Owen O'Donnell possibly starting there, but moving out to follow TJ Reid. I would imagine that you'll have Chris Crummie, Sean Moran, and Shane Barrett. Shane Barrett, with the option that Shane Barrett might go in cornerback because he has the speed at any time if he wants to. Is that how you'd see it happening this weekend?
I see another Dublin man, not necessarily one of these guys, but I definitely see another man in here, and I see guys moving out a bit and two inside, and that's probably leaving one here. I think they'd be foolish not to double up on that central area around TJ, and I think they will. I think you'd see Sean Moran sitting back
in front of there,
yeah, because they won't want to, definitely won't want to concede goals anyway. So I that's kind of how I would see it, because that's probably, they are very fit and very mobile, so they will be able to work it as long as they play balls up the flanks here, probably out here and out here, keep balls coming up the flanks. I think that would be their best chance. I think they'd be foolish not to flood this area here in the middle, because that's where TJ and John Donnelly and these guys are going to flow into and do a lot of damage.
We're going to have a look at how Kilkenny set up. I took a picture from one of their games recently. But just to again go back to the original setup, that if Kilkenny did, or Dublin did set up their forward line like this, I think this, if this was David Tracy, now we'll probably have a half forward line of Sutcliffe, maybe Keeney, maybe Ryan O'Dwyer, and then you're looking at the likes of Rush full forward, Tracy, and perhaps Winters, or maybe even Paul Ryan, which is a real 2013 feel about it. But I would see Tracy coming back here, and like you're saying, other men dropping back to fill the spots. But my concern then is that you're going to have, if for Dublin, would be that you'd have the likes of Paddy Deegan coming out there. And if he does, we saw the amount of ball he got on against Tipperary, and that could pretty much, like, destroy Dublin in a way, because he's going to give the right ball up the field. That's Kilkenny's way these days. They work the ball up the field, use the space, hit, and they hit grass with the ball.
The key to it there is he's going to sit in the middle. The key to it is, if they're going to try and do this, that they have to play the flanks. They cannot be raining ball down here. You've played in games as well where there's been a sweeper on the other team and some lad clears the ball from the half-back line down onto the 45 and you're pulling your hair out. That's the exact opposite of what they'll be doing. I imagine they'll be working ball out to here and hitting ball to the flanks, particularly if they have Paul Ryan and we'll say Paul Winters or someone like that, or Donald Burke or someone around there. They're going to be trying to hit this area here. I don't think, like, getting goals is probably going to be difficult if they're playing that style, but if they can put up 21, 22 points, like, you're going to be bang there. So I think that's the way around it. Yeah, you definitely don't want to be... Paddy Deegan is just this absolute live wire when he gets the ball, and you definitely don't want to be putting ball around him, because he just has no problem breaking tackles, or they're going to have to foul him, kind of one or the other. So they're going to have to kind of negate that area there.
And who do you see starting midfield for Kilkenny? Because James Maher and Richie Leahy were excellent at midfield the last couple of games, both against Wexford and Tipperary. But Conor Fogarty has to come into the mix. He came on during the league final, scored a goal, and he's obviously been an excellent player for a couple of years. So I would suggest that maybe Richie Leahy would move into the wing forward line, maybe Conor Fogarty come into midfield, and perhaps Alan Murphy might drop out of the team.
Yeah, either or, I'd say either Richie or James Maher. James Maher has played wing forward a good bit as well.
Yeah.
So I think either of them, one will play midfield, one will play wing forward. Conor had glandular fever there for 2 or 3 months, I think, but he looked in top form in the 2 games he came on in, and he was brilliant. Even we hadn't seen him. He usually kind of recycles ball when he gets it or breaks a tackle and passes. Like, he actually left 2 Tipperary guys, like, in his wake. So he looked in top form. I think I'd imagine he'd have to start. He's had a month under his belt since then. So, like, he's a real powerhouse as well. I'm kind of just thinking about, you know, picking holes through the Kilkenny team. If Paul Murphy gets back fit and is flying, and Colin Fenley gets back, then the perceived weaknesses kind of come out of the team.
And not to mention Richie Hogan.
Not to mention Richie as well. And then you start getting a little worried. Then you start thinking, oh, maybe they are there or thereabouts again. They probably are. But if they come back and you're able to take out a couple of the weak spots out of the team, it'll be very, very interesting.
And Owen Murphy spoke about the importance of having a really strong spine in the team. And I would say he's the best goalkeeper in the game.
He's brilliant.
Colm Callanan, it looks like Colm Callanan isn't going to line out for Galway this weekend, who would be one of the other contenders. And then you've got other great goalies like Nash, Stephen O'Keefe. And I'm probably missing somebody there. But just to look at the spine of the team, you've got Murphy, Pádraig Walsh, Killian Buckley, a really strong midfield, as we've just outlined, TJ Reid and Wally Walsh, who's been swapping with John Donnelly very effectively in the games coming up to now.
Cody is always built around a spine. You've never really thought, even when Eamon Kennedy came in and played in 2000, he ended up getting an All-Star. He didn't cut the mustard the year after, so they moved him on. He places so much emphasis on that central spine of the team. And he's right, kind of. Sometimes people can over kind of complicate things. It's so important to have a good... It's so important that your spine is strong, basically. Mm. And they have a... While we would probably all like to see Pádraig Walsh out in the wing, that's probably not best for Kilkenny at the moment, because they don't have a full back. Maybe Conor Delaney might turn into a full back in time, but Cody's happy to leave him there as long as he knows he's going to be secure at the back. And when you go down through that spine, it's a frightening enough prospect, yeah.
It is, yeah. So we're going to look at how Kilkenny isolate the space. We've got an image here that I took from their recent game against Tipperary, and you can see up there that they drop back hugely. Now, you would always think that Kilkenny are high scorers and that dropping players back would be kind of defensive, but no, you actually want your forwards to have lots of space, and Tipperary fell into this trap in the league final whereby all their players were choking up their own space in the forward line, so it's very hard to move without running into a tackle. And this is what Kilkenny do time after time. And I think I've got another picture there as well, which show how many people actually drop into the defensive line. There's 10 people in that picture.
TJ with the hand up there looking for the ball.
And it's not unusual for him to be back inside the 45. And look, you've got Richie Leahy back there. There's 10 players in the picture. That just shows you how well set up they are. And that was later on in the game. And Tipperary kind of got sucked up the field because they were chasing scores. But the last thing you should really do is actually allow more traffic to go up the field, hence Tip struggling to get any. Tip only managed 4 scoring chances in the second half. They only had 1 wide, so 1 point from play in the second half. So
the defence was kamikaze stuff, like,
from Tipperary.
To leave 2-on-2 inside like that, it doesn't matter. You could have the best fullback and the best cornerback in the country. If ball is coming in with space like that, you can attack every ball and you can win 9. Mm. You miss the 10th ball and it's a goal. Do you know, I thought they were quite foolish to kind of fall into that trap, but we've all fell into it at some stage.
At this stage, you know the way previously you would see a sweeper playing around here, or between the 45 and 65. I actually think, and you see Tadhg Dabhurcadh doing it a lot, it's back on your own 21 now. And Sean Murphy for Wexford, he's kind of playing around this area as well. And if he's there, because he obviously wants to be able to have the option of going left and right, and this is the same for example, if Sean Moran plays there this weekend, if you've got a 2v2 there and you're kind of caught in the middle of them, if a wing back, like, let's say, for example, Enda Morrissey, who I think has been a real find for Kilkenny, Killian Buckley, or one of those 2 midfielders, pins a ball over here, well, for example, Sean Moran is on the wrong side of it if it goes that way, and if a lovely ball goes that way. So it's actually kind of making the, it's bypassing the sweeper as well. And that's one of the huge parts of the tactical evolution of hurling as well. So based on all of that, I'm just going to find it very hard for Dublin to get the scores. Because while they have players who have really delivered over the years, you know, Conal Keeney, Danny Sutcliffe, Ryan O'Dwyer, and Liam Rush, I wonder, is there going to be enough pace and youth in that attack line? If Eamon Dillon, Trollier as he's known, if he was fit, he has real burning pace and you'd like to see him in there. But there's probably, Dublin are probably short options. I mean, they'd love to have Mark Shute, who's with the footballers. They'd love to have Colm Cronin. But they're possibly lacking a little bit of pace up there.
Probably, like you've named, the four older guys you named are, you know, big, strong, kind of towering fellas, and they offer a lot. But the other three guys you named are, you know, it's pace, pace, pace. Eamon Dillon, like, from a back's point of view, is so quick and just has only got goal on his mind. So he's a big loss. Like, they're probably going to need to score a couple of goals to win, and probably won't. So that's probably going to be the win and losing, but I don't think there'll be much in it at all. And Kilkenny are going to find it hard to get that space 2-on-2 inside in Parnell Park. I've never known space in Parnell Park. So I think they'll...
You wouldn't be able to use it anyway, Mike.
No.
So are you going to go for a Kilkenny win there?
Yeah, not by much. I think 4 or 5 points. I think it'll be tight the whole way. I think probably the Kilkenny will probably nick a goal at some stage, and maybe a couple of points will be all that's in it, I'd say.
And just very quickly, how do you think Offaly are going to set up? Yeah, we'll have Offaly in blue here.
They won't do anyway.
They won't do the two sweepers and
That was a disaster. Funnily enough, though, they actually had 3 or 4 goal chances in the first half, which you remember that they missed. They got one, but they missed a couple of chances. And you probably will see two inside at some stage, but maybe not a sweeper back here. There could be maybe Manor in the middle third as well, but they did get a bit of joy out of that last year.
You can't just simply have guys marking space anymore. If you even look back at Tyrone against Dublin last year in the All-Ireland semi-final, Dublin were moving it up the wings and you had all these Tyrone guys waiting here where the ball was never coming into, because Jim Gavin said, why on earth would I play it into traffic? And it always comes into that whole thing about, do you want to play into traffic or space? It's always got to be about
hurling
space.
Is difficult as well, though, because at the end of the day, nowadays, you can put the ball over from here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you can just negate this completely. But I think relatively speaking, Offaly will go 15-on-15, mainly with the half forwards pulling back here, here, here. And they will try and clog up this area here, but the centre back will sit here. But I don't think it will be anything like last year. They will feel that they have the big guys in attack, particularly would say Conor Matton or Joe Bergen on the edge of the square that can win ball, cause trouble. You saw even Conor Matton against G. I know he ended up on the line the same day, but he was in full forward. He's an absolute nuisance.
Yeah, if you isolate him and you put a nice ball on top of him, very hard to stop. Yeah. Dan Curran's the same as well.
They don't mind, as Joe Bergen often said to us, I don't care what, leave it in good and ignorant. They don't care. They don't care what ways it comes in, because when you're that big, it doesn't matter. So I think we will cause Galway some trouble with our big ball winners. We have a couple of big, big ball winners here in Colin Egan, Dan Curran's, Conor Matton. And if they can break 50-50 and try and keep Grod McInerney out of the game, and hopefully one of the guys inside will keep Dottie Burke busy and hopefully maybe create a bit of space for Shane Dooley. But I think it will be relatively 15-on-15, so to speak, which is, as a traditionalist, it's kind of nice to see, I suppose. It's more positive as well, from our point of view, because it suits our style a lot more.
Mm. And hopefully you can keep it pucked out to them, because we need big games and we need awfully challenging. Just to get your prediction on the Leinster round-robin series, how do you see it finishing 1-5?
I think it will be something along the lines of, I still think Galway will, I think a good two teams will beat each other, but on score difference, I think it will probably be Galway, Kilkenny, Wexford, and I'm just being honest, it's Galway, Kilkenny, Wexford, Dublin, Offaly. That's an honest view.
Yeah, I tend to agree, it's the exact same 1-5, because I think Offaly have had a few decent outings this year, but when it comes to championship, this is where we see exactly where teams are at, and I do think that they're in the fifth position there. So that's pretty much all that we have for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. We certainly did. Michael, you did.
Yeah, just
tell me you did.
I can't wait for the next few weekends. Like, there's so much to look forward to every weekend now. It's great from a player's point of view. It might be difficult, as we said, for some of the older fellas, but from a spectator's point of view, it's great. Every Saturday and Sunday, you're going to be tipping off somewhere to see all these games, which is going to be great, yeah. Mm.
And there's plenty of more analysis to come on Off the Ball starting at 7 o'clock this evening. And also Tommy Walsh will be at Parnell Park this Sunday. We're back next Friday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. Please do join us.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.